Informing America's farmers and ranchers. This is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome into Agriculture of America, AOA. Thank you for joining us here on the show today. Jesse Allen with you. We got a great lineup here for the program. Thank you for joining us and making us part of your day as we talk about issues impacting rural America and farmers and ranchers. We're going to talk markets in just a moment with Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst at Bar Chart. In segment two, potential of a severe weather outbreak here early this week. DTN meteorologist John Baranek will join us with the latest details. In segment three, we're going to talk about what's happening, what's hot, what's not in the equipment market. Director of Insights with Tractor Zoom, Andy Campbell, is going to join the show after the bottom of the hour. And then we're going to wrap in segment four. We're going to learn about a new company called Steward with their founder, Dan Miller. We're going to hear part of a recent conversation that I had with him, learning more about their company and some of the things they're doing for producers when it comes to financing and producer-driven ag projects. So we're going to talk about that at the end of today's AOA. The show brought to you by Cenex. Hard work, long hours, and extreme conditions aren't new. Cenex Premium Diesel meets the demands of today's toughest engines. Premium Diesel to keep you going. Learn more at Cenex.com. Well, joining us to kick off the program today, let's take a look at what's happening in the markets. Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst at Bar Chart, is with us. Darren, thanks for being back with us here on the show this week. Hope you had a great Easter weekend.
I really did. It was nice and quiet. Didn't do much of anything. You know, an extra day without markets, which is always nice. So I hope everyone had a nice Easter weekend as well.
Well, Darren, as we look at the markets coming out of a three-day holiday weekend, as we know, that can always lead to a little bit of jockeying and volatility and things like that. Wheat, corn under some pressure early on Monday, the soy complex kind of a mixed bag. I want to talk, though, about this corn market now that we've got the USDA fodder out of the way from Thursday and looking ahead to spring planting. And your article out for Bar Chart here, your morning commentary, the title is King Corn Bullish Today. So your thoughts there, Darren. Let's talk about this corn market. Has this corn market or is it turning bullish on us?
Well, since it is April 1, I will say yes, that this market is incredibly bullish, that it's never going to go down, probably going to go $15, $16. But again, remember, it's April 1st. Nothing has changed about the corn market. Last Thursday's numbers were, you know, as ridiculous as always. We saw, you know, pretty much exactly what we thought we would see. Stocks increased over last year. We knew that based on the cash market. So that wasn't earth-shattering news. And for those of us who watched the NOV 24 soybean, DEES 24 corn spread from September through February, those 6 months, knew that, you know, that beans had presumably bought acres away from corn here in the U.S. this spring. And the closest fit, I don't necessarily believe in analogous years, but the closest fit to what we saw this past 6 months came in 2014. And oddly enough, that year, we also saw corn acres drop from the previous year 5%. So what did USDA say? Yeah, they're prospective plantings, and I think that says it all, came in 5% less than last year. Again, no surprise. What we did see, though, Thursday, was we saw a huge spike in trade volume and open interest. So, you know, the idea that this was simply some short covering may not necessarily be true. It looked like there was some fresh buying in there as well. Now, you know, as you mentioned, coming out of the three-day weekend, those traders seem to be selling again. So we'll see. We'll see how all this washes out. There's really no surprise. We really haven't turned this market bullish all of a sudden. It hasn't changed all that much at all.
Well, and you mentioned, you know, the potential of a little short covering there, et cetera. Let's look at Friday's CFTC Commitment to Traders report. Anything stand out to you there of note, or is it kind of continue that same theme of nothing's really changed?
Yeah, it, really not much changed. I think the two things that caught my attention maybe a little bit this time around was that, and this is from Tuesday to Tuesday. So as of a week ago Tuesday, and this doesn't take into account all the post-report nonsense, but as of a week ago Tuesday, they had actually increased, funds had actually increased their net short futures position in corn while continuing to decrease their net short futures position in soybeans. Again, neither of those are probably a huge surprise. But one would think, given the size of the position, given that we were coming up on the end of the financial quarter for many of these trading firms, that they would have also continued to decrease their corn position. Now, certainly they must have done that a little bit on Thursday. So we'll see. We'll see what the next report has to show us, and we'll see how Monday and Tuesday this week play out.
Well, let's look over at some of the outside markets and energies and things like that, too, as we start the month of April. You know, we get a new month going. Sometimes that can dictate some money flow. We had the PCE inflation data out on Friday that largely was pretty underwhelming, it seemed like, to the trade, and stocks pretty quiet here to start the week on Monday, and crude quiet as well. I mean, anything of note for you in some of these outside markets that we need to watch here as we start off the week and start off the month?
It has to be gold. Gold is just flying right now. You know, we saw it go to a new high last week, and we immediately added $30, $40 onto it again overnight through early Monday morning. So there is still a lot of buying, and it doesn't seem to matter that, you know, gold is priced up here near $2,250 an ounce. I mean, it's just incredible buying continuing to come into the market. And so this opens the door to all kinds of possibilities. It, you know, it being a safe haven market, is there growing concern, a growing geopolitical concern around the world? Is there concern about the dollar? Is there concern about other global currencies? You know, you don't see this type of move, not only in one of the kings of commodities, one of the three kings of commodities being gold, but also in one of the longest lasting historic safe haven markets. And so it grabs your attention when you see moves like this, when you see the buying continuing to come in at the same time U.S. stock indexes continue to move to new highs. Something's probably going to give. I don't see these two sectors moving together for very long. So something's probably going to give here in the not too distant future, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Well, and I'm glad you brought up gold there as like that traditional safe haven. Mm-hmm. I mean, does anything to you indicate that gold could be, you know, going somewhat parabolic here at all, Darren?
Yeah, you know, we've seen so many commodities do that, mostly in the soft sectors, most recently cocoa. And, you know, have some people say, oh, cattle is going to be the next cocoa market, but maybe it's going to be gold. I don't. See, this is one of those things you don't know what the investors are buying. We don't know why they're getting so interested, but we can see what's happening here, and it's drawing money in. So there's a concern somewhere. Could it go parabolic? To me, it's a higher volume market, much more so than cocoa and some of the others. But that risk is always there. If there's no one willing to sell the market on top, and all of a sudden you get this rush of buyers coming in, there's always that possibility that even a market as big and as strong and as long lived as gold is could see the same sort of move like what we've seen in cocoa, sugar, lumber. You know, the list goes on and on.
Well, Darren, always appreciate the insight. Thanks for joining us here on AOA today.
Well, thanks for having me on again, Jesse.
Darren Newsom, senior market analyst there at Bar Chart, joining us here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Greases. We'll talk with DTN meteorologist John Baranek on the way next here on AOA.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted card to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your card donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted card.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge. But with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I pushed through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Not all grease is created equal. Cenex premium greases are made with high-quality ingredients to provide durable protection. Learn more online at cenex.com. Well, let's take a look at the weather here as we start the month of April and talking maybe a potential significant severe weather outbreak here early this week. Let's start there and get some details with DTN meteorologist John Baranek. John, thanks for joining us here on the program. Hope you had a great Easter weekend. And it sounds like it could be a rough start to the week for some folks here across the U.S., John.
Yeah, I know a few folks had some interesting weather there for Easter, but, you know, I don't know. Luckily, I stayed out of it. I had a pretty nice weekend. I hope you did too, Jesse. Yeah, we've got some really interesting weather to talk about here for the first half of the week. We have these couple of little disturbances that are moving across a front that's basically stuck between the Central Plains and Ohio Valley. Kind of chillier off to the north, but very warm to the south. And that's kind of really fueling what was going to be a pretty significant storm system here early on this week, the next couple of days. We don't see a whole lot of wind out of it. Usually we do when we see one of these storm systems move out of the Four Corners and into the plains and then up into the Midwest. But it does have the potential here for some significant severe weather, like you mentioned. So today is kind of a widespread day. It looks like things are going to get started up in Texas, Oklahoma, southeastern Kansas, into Missouri for kind of this evening. And we could even see stuff along that front in the Ohio Valley here later in the day as well. Everything is basically on the table with this one. So hail, wind, and tornadoes all in it, as well as some bouts of heavy rain with it too. So I know a lot of folks aren't going to mind getting some moisture into the soils. I don't think there's anybody out there that's really too wet right now. So I think everything's going to be good with that, but we are going to have to deal with a little bit of severe weather with it. This kind of wraps up tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow evening, going into the Great Lakes. It might be just cold enough to turn over to some snow here, and especially Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin has the best chance here for getting something a little bit significant. We could be looking at Northern Illinois and into Michigan as well with some moderate to heavy snow potential, with this system. So it's going to be having a little toast of everything as it moves through the country here this week.
Well, and thinking about this too, and just the precipitation potential here as we kick off the month of April, I know a lot of farmers are itching to get out and get more field work done and get spring planting kicked off. But a lot of areas definitely need the added moisture here to start off the year. Now, I know some folks would argue they'd rather see this moisture in June or July once the crop is in the ground, but I guess giving us a good subsoil moisture start, depending on how much falls here, John, this is something that's going to be beneficial, even if it pushes us back a couple of weeks here for planting, right?
Yeah, and it might. I mean, it just depends on where you are and how much you actually get, what your soil moisture situation is at the moment. But, you know, there's a lot of areas here from Missouri and eastern Iowa all the way into Pennsylvania where we're looking at, you know, 1 to 2, maybe 2+ inches of rainfall here out of the system this week. And so that, yeah, that may cause some flooding, but you know, at this point, still in early April, I don't know if there's a whole lot of people that are really upset if we have to push it back a week, if we can get in that subsoil moisture, because who knows what this summer is going to bring. And it'd be nice to have a little bit of reserve, a little backup in there to carry us through at least a little while. So even if we get pushed back a little bit, I'm thinking, and I don't know, I probably don't speak for everybody, but I think getting more moisture in now early, even if we have to push back planting, is probably still preferred.
How about as we look through the rest of the month, and I'm sure you're keeping tabs on some of the mid-range and long-range forecasts here, how is this active pattern? Is it going to stick around through the end of April, does it look like? Are we watching any changes at all? What's some of the thoughts there, John?
Yeah, you know, what really keeps an active pattern going is not having one of these stuck ridges of high pressure in the atmosphere, just stuck around and not wanting to move. So usually what we'll see is it sets up somewhere, right? If it's on the East Coast, if it's in the middle of the country, if it's on the West Coast, these blocks in the pattern really just keep stagnant conditions around. But we don't really see that. We don't have any real suggestions here for the month of April, maybe probably even early May, of anything really blocking up the pattern here anytime soon. So with that in mind, I mean, this active pattern is likely to continue. Whether or not, you know, we just see days after days of rain is probably not going to happen. But, you know, as is typical during spring, we see lots of storm systems moving through and lots of changing conditions. I think the trend though is going to keep more of any cooler air after this weekend, at least back into the western states, and then as you go farther east of the Rockies, start bringing in some more of that warmer temperatures more consistently here for the month of April. So obviously when we get a storm system to move through, it'll cut the temperatures down a bit, and then they'll come back up before the next one. But, you know, if you kind of take a general trend, some cooler temperatures in the west and some warmer temperatures in the east, you know, even if we get all this moisture, at least we're not dealing with some colder temperatures moving through. I know April's been kind of one of these months where it's been kind of just a hangover of winter the last several years. And it's been really tough to bring those temperatures up, you know, especially when you get into the upper Midwest, where it just seemed that winter dragged on all the way into May. This year doesn't really seem to follow that pattern. So we've had some cooler temperatures the last couple of weeks. We probably will here for this week and into the weekend, but after that, everything's kind of suggestive of some nice warmer temperatures moving in. So that helps keep water moving through soils when we get that, and you get everything else popping up as well. You get a little bit more sunshine with it, and you know, things can dry out kind of quickly here. So even if we do get some heavier rain that may push you back a little bit, I think at least with the warmer temperatures coming in, that you know, keeps anything from being super long extended, heavy wet periods. We'll see though, because you know, if this pattern does stay super active, you know, there could be some spots in the country, and we're looking at, you know, kind of Central Plains through Ohio Valley as being the areas of kind of greatest risk for that. They always seem to catch either a storm system that goes off to the north or a storm system that goes off to the south. They're kind of in the middle of everything. With maybe they get some periods here where they're a little too wet. We'll see. But right now I'm not overly worried about that at the moment.
We're talking with DTN meteorologist John Baranek here on AOA. John, a couple thoughts on South America real quick. Brazil, Argentina. I know that Brazil soybean harvest is about 3/4 complete here as of today. We're still watching the weather down there for the safrida crop as well and the harvest windows. Any notes for us for Brazil and or Argentina, John?
Yeah, Argentina is going to be coming less and less of a player here, at least in terms of weather. As we go on, you know, they're getting into harvest season right now. And although it's, you know, it's a really long extended period of harvest down there because they had just such a long growing season. But, you know, weather is becoming less and less important down there for Argentina. But even so, they've got some really good weather. They've got some more showers coming through here this week. So things are looking good there. It's really Brazil that we're going to be a lot more concerned about. And it's that safrina corn crop, really. A lot of the soybeans that are left to harvest are down in the south, and they're kind of headed towards harvest anyway, right now anyway. But it's that safrina corn crop. And, you know, like we've been talking about for weeks now, they just have not been able to build in some subsoil moisture for them. I've been kind of trying to see if some of the better showers in central Brazil over the last week and a half have really been able to do anything. And so far...
John, you were there. We just lost you.
Yeah, just doesn't have much in there. So we're going to keep watching that. But, you know, the showers that have been going through have not been really coming up to the forecast. The forecast has been a lot heavier and more widespread than these showers have actually occurred. So it's just been really tough for them to build in subsoil moisture. So they're going to be dealing with that here for the rest of the season. And those rains really start shutting down here in the middle of this month. Models are very suggestive that that's going to be the case. We're kind of coming into range now. That's 2 weeks away, where models are starting to dry everything out in Brazil. And so that's going to be a big concern going forward. How much subsoil moisture is there and how long can that last? And, do we see significant cuts, to that corn crop just mm-hmm. because they don't have anything to build off of, once they get through pollination. So, yeah, they do have some rain going through now and, we'll see that here this week and probably next as well. But after that, spigot starts to shut off, and we'll see how much of an impact that starts having.
All right. Well, folks, you can stay up to date with the latest forecasts at dtnpf.com. And with that, DTN meteorologist John Baranek. John, thanks for joining us on AOA again this week. Have a good one. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on again, Jesse.
John Baranek there with DTN joining us here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Downtime's a waste. Keep your equipment running smoothly by using high-quality Cenex premium diesel fuel. Learn more at Cenex.com. Speaking of equipment, coming up next, we're going to talk what's hot, what's not in the equipment market with Andy Campbell, Director of Insights at Tractor Zoom. He joins us next on AOA.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-844-903-1744. 1-844-903-1744. That's 1-844-903-1744. Attorney Advertising. William Stepacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
You're listening to AOA. Here's a check of the market trade. Jesse Allen with you as we take a dive into what's happening here so far in the early portion of the week. And the grain trade slipping a bit lower here, led by Kansas City and Minneapolis spring wheat, which was lower here in the overnight. Soybeans were a little bit higher, but they are starting to slip a bit here as we go through our early rounds on Monday. These markets are still reacting a bit to Thursday's USDA reports that we got before the three-day holiday weekend. Outside markets fairly quiet, reacting to the PCE inflation data that came out while the markets were closed on Friday. And that widely anticipated data was a little less inflationary than traders were anticipating, which could help drive the narrative that rate cuts may come sooner than later here in the U.S. economy. So that's another piece to the puzzle that we are watching. Now, again, the wheat trade been up and down here over the recent weeks, and Minneapolis May hitting a new low here in the overnight as we got higher than expected spring wheat seeding here on Thursday's reports, and KC wheat also plunging despite winter wheat acres being more than 1 million lower than the pre-report trade expectations. Little news outside of more reaction to the USDA numbers in these markets, so we're going to keep tabs on this grain trade as it works through the day, but double-digit losses in the wheat trade right now. In livestock, seeing some triple-digit losses in cattle futures and in some of the deferred hog trade as well. On the cattle side, continued spread of HPAI in dairy cattle now confirmed in Michigan and Idaho, seemingly having a psychological impact on the market. While the hog trade, mostly neutral to slightly bearish quarterly hogs and pigs numbers seen on Thursday that the trade is reacting to. This is AOA for the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen.
We're with Bridget, whose husband won't be home for months, and whose daughter is due any day. We're with Mike, who's leaving home to protect his family and yours. We're with all service members and their families who need community, connection, and maybe a bit of magic. Are you with them? Learn more at USO.org today. We're with Liam, after his fourth military move, when being new is starting to get old. We're with Tara during the holidays, when she misses home the most. We're with all service members and their families who need connection, comfort, and a home away from home. Are you with them? Learn more at USO.org today.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, fitting segment intro music there, John Deere Green, as we kick off our next segment here on AOA, talking about the equipment market. Jesse Allen back with you here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Find out your premium diesel and premium lubricant lineup that is best for your equipment and your operation by contacting your local experts at Cenex or visit them online at cenex.com. Let's talk what's hot, what's not in the equipment market. Joining us now, he is the Director of Insights for Tractor Zoom. Andy Campbell's back with us here on AOA today. Andy, hope you had a great Easter holiday weekend. It's good to talk with you again, my friend.
Yes, Jesse, we did, and thank you for having me on. But yeah, great time with the family back in Northern Iowa for Easter. It was a good weekend.
Yeah, well, and I was going to ask you too, your travels from Southern Iowa to Northern Iowa, how are things looking, the setup here for spring planting as we kind of get ready for things? Did you have any highlights on your travels, Andy?
Yeah, traveling from Southern Iowa and Pella to Northern Iowa and Rudd, I go right through that area that was pure red on the drought monitor, and a lot of places got 2+ inches of rain, and you can see it have an effect already. You know, easily could use 10 times that amount, but it was very welcome. And you know, prior to that, I've never seen the top dirt so dusty dry. But that rain that came through, and we're getting another shower today, it's starting to make a difference.
All right, well, that is good to hear. Good to hear as we get the setup here for spring planting season. All right, well, let's talk equipment, Andy, and let's start with what is hot right now in the equipment market. What are some things you guys are tracking there at Tractor Zoom?
Yeah, so dealer auctions are hot right now. You know, there was a lot of them that wrapped up the 2023 year, and that trend is just continuing. These higher interest rates aren't just hard on farmers, so dealerships are looking for ways to keep their inventory down to healthier levels. And so what I've got today really comes a lot from an auction that was last Thursday. Steph has held one for Brandt Holdings, Kibble, and Valley Plains dealership up in North Dakota. And so there's just a ton of green equipment that was sold there. And there's going to be one coming up here for True North dealership this coming Thursday. So a chance to apply what I'm seeing. But out of that auction and in the general trend, older self-propelled sprayers are hot if you're looking to maybe be a seller. If you haven't noticed, there's a ton of these sprayers that have hit the market. It's going to continue for about the next month or so. And I know there's some risk of higher maintenance costs if you're going to buy a higher hourage sprayer. But what we've seen is those with more than 2,000 hours on them right now are coming in at similar prices to what we witnessed last year and the year before. So as a potential seller, those are hot. Larger row crop tractors, I don't know if you'd call them hot because nothing's blazing hot right now, but at least I'd say it's at least lukewarm. So again, breaking down that Brand Holdings auction, they had three 8R370s and all of them were between 500 and 1,000 hours. And they hit the range of what we saw last year for data collected here at Tractor Zoo. It might have been closer to the bottom of the range, but it was still respectable. So older self-propelled sprayers, slightly used, larger row crop tractors, I'd call them warm at least.
Well, and I think this will segue us into what's not as well right now in this equipment market. But you talk about some of those mid to higher hour row crop tractors. Are folks maybe gravitating towards some of those over the lower hour options because the price is just a bit better, Andy? I mean, what's your thoughts there?
Yeah. I'd definitely say those row crop tractors that are at least longer or further out than that one buyer. So greater than 500 hours, we're seeing those really start to weaken a little bit. And even those less than 250 hours, there's not a lot of them that hit the market, but those ones that maybe are just a year old have fallen off about 5% from last year. So row crop tractors, you know, just barely used, they're starting to weaken quite a bit. And on the low hour sprayers, there was one John Deere R4038 that was sold up at that Brand Holdings auction, sold for $339,000, only 250 hours. You don't see many of those that sell for less than 500 hours on them, but we have a couple almost exact models that sold similar to that in 21 and 22. They both went for $40,000 more. So that's at least an 11% drop off of those highs. So those low-houred row crop tractors, low-hour sprayers, those are definitely not hot from a seller's perspective.
Okay. All right. I want to talk to you as well here about combines. I've seen a ton of chatter on social media here, folks talking about some of these class 8 and class 9 combines and looking at some of the prices on those at auction, on the used market, things like that. And I've just seen, honestly, comments all over the board on X, on Instagram, Facebook, you name it, LinkedIn, people talking about this. So give us the rundown. What is going on in the combine market right now?
Yeah, I'm seeing that same chatter. And so what we did is we went in there and said, okay, objectively, how are these values comparing by hours? And when you really look at similar types of models with similar drives, and starting with the Class 8 combines, that Brand Holding auction, they unloaded six S780s. And I ran those numbers through our Tractor Zoom Pro dealer solution, and all of those were about a solid 15% lower than what was just recorded back in November and December. That's just 3 months ago. And so if you take the collective value of those six combines that were sold, that's almost $250,000 left on the table from just those 3 months. That's a huge hit. And like you mentioned, it's not just Class 8s. So same auction, there was three S790s. All three of them sold below the current 2024 trend line. And that puts them at least 5% lower than 2023 values. And you got to keep all this in mind because in 22 to 23, there was a OEM price increase that happened there too. So those combines that were sold in those period of times were higher on initial purchase. So that's even more of a steep depreciation curve on those really low hour combines. There's just a high supply, especially those 9s and 10s out there right now.
I was going to say, I'm glad you positioned that. I was going to ask, is it an oversupply, a high supply? Is it just a lack of willingness for folks to want to look at new combines here, even on the used market? But it seems to be that, to your point there, just there's a lot out there and not enough demand for some of these newer machines, Andy.
Yeah. I think that the Class 8 combines, the dealers worked really hard this past year, most of them did, on reducing their inventory of the 8s and a bit to the 9s and the 10s too. But you got to keep this in mind that last year, farmers had extra cash. They had taxes to about to defer, and they had reasons to buy at the end of last year. That's why we saw such good sales in November and December of 2023. But I think right now might be a sign that all those farmers that typically buy one-year-old machines, they may have satisfied a lot of their demand with purchases, you know, 3-4 months ago. And so they're likely still in an okay cash position right now, but they just simply don't need the machines because they bought forward what they needed to buy. And with the expected farm profit this year being nil, if anything, I don't see them coming back to the table at an aggressive manner. So I really think that it's just going to be a drop off of demand because they forward bought from last year.
We are talking with Tractor Zoom's Director of Insights, Andy Campbell, here today on AOA. Andy, let's talk another topic here that really has been a hot trend throughout not just agriculture, but the world, for, you know, for lack of a better term here. And that's been AI, artificial intelligence. And I know this is something that you and the team there at Tractor Zoom is watching, how AI is trending in equipment. So give us some thoughts here real quick, Andy.
Right. You know, AI, I know it gets tossed around a lot as potential, but it's real and it's very applicable right now. And so we're using artificial intelligence here at Tractor Zoom. Our data scientists actually built a model that will go out within all of our data partners, our auctioneers and our dealerships that are sharing descriptions of equipment. And it looks at all those. And we're talking over a million different lots of equipment. And it can go in and read misspellings on descriptions or nuanced types of words and categorize all of this important information. You know, we're talking about types of feeder houses and combines, talking about planter upgrade kits, all of that. And it categorizes it in a useful manner. So then our data science side, all the dealers and lenders that use our product can help use that data to find what they need faster and get way more accurate values. So we've increased the amount of data that's describing our equipment by at least 2x, maybe even 3x, just using AI here within the past 6 months.
It's amazing just the amount of things that can get accomplished with artificial intelligence and applying it to help with looking at all this data and everything else going on in the equipment world and really just throughout agriculture, Andy.
Right. Yeah, I think, I mean, I was just watching on my computer and I saw NVIDIA popped up another 1% already today. There's a reason why those chip companies are taking off. It's because every company's realizing this is applicable. And yeah, from a producer standpoint, from a manufacturer, from a dealer, there's all uses to use artificial intelligence, build a model, have it do some of that more routine type of work and help you get an answer faster so you can still make those decisions that you've always made. Just have all that work done for you leading up to that decision.
Andy, I know producers, if they want to check out equipment and more, they can do a lot of great things at TractorZoom.com. Give us a quick plug for everything you guys have on the website.
Yeah, on TractorZoom.com, like I said, we're seeing a ton of great dealer auctions. A lot of our dealer listing partners have good supply of equipment out there on TractorZoom.com. It's easy to search through. And all, a lot of our auctioneer partners, the ones doing dealer auctions and the ones just with the regular auctions right now, have a lot of solid equipment right now, especially some good planters, a ton of self-propelled sprayers. And like I mentioned, the prices are at a good buying position. So again, if it fits your operation, I think you're seeing a lot of great deals now, especially versus what you saw the last couple of years.
Maybe you'll find a piece of equipment you want before you hit the field here for spring planting. TractorZoom.com for more information with that. Andy Campbell, Director of Insights at Tractor Zoom. Always good to chat with you on AOA, my friend. Have a good week. We'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely, Jesse. Thank you for having me.
All right. Coming up next on AOA, brought to you by Cedex Premium Diesel. We're going to hear part of a conversation I had recently with Dan Miller, the founder of Steward. We're going to learn about that company and more next here on AOA.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind of know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Whether you're installing drain tile or doing any sort of digging, always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked and have the depth confirmed. That's farming with care. But if a line does get damaged, go somewhere safe and call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
A promise is potent. Born of intention, fueled by commitment, it's seeing things through, always showing up. And we know a thing or two about promises here at Susan G. Komen. Over 40 years ago, we locked arms with you toward one vision, a world without breast cancer. By investing in life-saving research and standing up for patient rights, we are shifting the system so all people everywhere get the care they deserve. Because if you've just been diagnosed and don't know where to turn, we've got you. If you can't afford the treatment you need, we've got you. And if you are driven to raise money to honor the best friend you've just lost, we have a place for you here. Because of you, we're supporting those who need help today while tirelessly searching for tomorrow's cures. Ending breast cancer needs all of us. Visit Komen.org and be a part of the Susan G. Komen community today.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we discuss how cooperatives support farmers and ranchers and build strong communities. Each week, we'll chat with voices from throughout the cooperative system. From global market access to local expertise, we'll explore how co-op ownership means you own a world of opportunities. Tune in on Tuesdays or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more. When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel and Cenex Premium Greases. Trust your local experts at Cenex. Learn more at your nearest location or visit them online at cenex.com. Well, right now, I want to listen into part of a recent interview I had on the Market Talk YouTube channel with Dan Miller, the founder of Steward, an online lending platform for farms, fisheries, ranches, and food producers, as they are looking at focusing on helping producer-driven ag infrastructure projects. So let's learn a little bit more about the company and listen into that interview with Dan Miller from Steward.
Sure. So Steward provides capital to regenerative farmers and for regional food systems infrastructure. So we provide credit loans to producers for land, infrastructure, equipment, value-added processing, really anything to get the product to market. The genesis of the business was around regional supply chains that I began tracing. Actually, a chef that I got to know who was buying from over 150 farmers directly, amazing heritage products, telling a great story, showcasing the food at his restaurant. And then as I spoke to those farmers, none of them could get access to capital. And you saw this big gap between demand and supply, and the people who are supplying traceable regional heritage products that consumers wanted couldn't get financing. And then I went down the path of, well, why couldn't get financing? And you quickly learn that ag policy actually drives financing decisions, not market demand. And so you get in a world where there's a lot of commodity financing for conventional commodity ag, there's unlimited amounts of it. But the second you're outside of that, regional food systems, non-traditional crops, value-added products, there's very little financing available. So Steward was created to provide the capital for those regionally focused kind of watershed driven projects. And then we also focus on regenerative agriculture in terms of farming practices and focusing on soil health, focusing on integrated crop rotations and cover crop and grazing. And we can go into that, but the goal is really identity to preserve traceable, nutritious products grown within the region, sold to customers in a transparent way, and bringing more value to farmers in that supply chain.
Well, and you raised a great point there that I think will kind of frame up our discussion here to start is that we think about, you know, traditional row crops, for instance, corn, soybeans, wheat, you know, how commodity prices can typically drive a lot of funding for an operation or some of your traditional ag lenders, so to speak, things like that. But when you get outside that realm, we start talking specialty crops or, you know, regional type of crops that a lot of those, a lot of funding challenges could be out there. Commodity prices can't necessarily be relied upon all the time as being a source of good income for your operation. So talk about that a little bit more, Dan.
A lot of the farmers we support, it's about getting more value out of the value chain. So even for crops such as wheat, we work with a company called Cairn Spring Mills. It's a stone mill in the Pacific Northwest, purchasing grain directly from farmers, milling it throughout the year and selling it to bakers and for food service. And so for them, they created this mill to bring more value to rotational grains. Farmers were losing money on rotational grains. It was not only good for soil health, but they wanted to bring some more income to that. So by stone milling a product and having it traceable and sold through direct supply chains, they're able to get a higher price and they're able to pay farmers, their farmers, about 30% above the commodity price. So even what is considered a commodity product, by decommoditizing it, telling the story of the land and where it's from, tracing it through a system, they're able to get more value out of it. So we focus on niche varieties of crops that don't have that type of broad market support, or crops like wheat or oats, where we're trying to get the producers farther down that value chain, farther down the value-added processing, and keeping more of that end margin.
Well, and I think about this too, supporting the economic health of our rural communities in some of these different, you know, regional areas. I think that's at the heart of what we really need to look at as well, and make sure that certain farmers don't get overlooked when they need funding or have funding challenges. Right, Dan?
And that's the challenge for a lot of agriculture producers. There's not much relationship-driven capital that's flexible. You know, you've got the commodity-driven product from the traditional banking and government institutions, but if you need something that's custom designed for your operation, the unique aspects of it, it's not out there. So what we're hoping to do is be really focused on designing the financing around the needs of that farm. And then what's really unique about our model is we raise the capital directly online from our network of lenders. We have over 3,500 people who finance the loans through our platform. So by having a group of values-driven funders that are direct into the deal, it's also fair on terms and structure and really for the benefit of that producer. So I think it's about flipping that mentality of how can we support these producers and provide the capital they need versus forcing them into a certain system and saying the only way you can get money is to do it this way.
Well, and Dan, too, I want to make sure it's not just something where you help with grains or other crops. You guys do help livestock producers, too. I know you have an example of a co-op in Montana that you guys have helped out as well. Can you talk about that aspect as well?
Absolutely. So all types of crops, all types of livestock, even aquaculture as well. One of the projects that's my favorite is the one you mentioned. It's called Old Salt Co-op. It was created by three fifth-generation ranching families out of Montana, who each had their own specialty direct sales program that was only about 10% of their volume, and the other 90% was just getting sold at auction for generic prices. And so this beautiful product, heritage raised on grass in Montana, but because they were selling through the conventional supply chain, they were not getting any of the value. So these three families, they've combined their direct programs, and they've created a new company called Old Salt Co-op that is building slaughter, value-added processing, direct-to-consumer sales, and a restaurant butcher shop in downtown Helena that's actually opening next week. So producer-owned, fully controlled through the value chain from the land, through slaughter and processing to value-added products, built for that regional market. And these three founding ranches are on about 200,000 acres across them. So these are really large operations. Even they were getting squeezed by the packers and getting low prices. So it doesn't matter what producer you are, you're still at the mercy of the big conglomerates. And that's really our goal. How can we build these regional supply chains for the benefit of that watershed and those producers where the value is actually staying with those producers?
And once again, that is a conversation I had last week with Dan Miller from Steward. You can learn more and listen to the rest of that conversation. The full conversation can be found on the Market Talk YouTube channel. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg for more information. Well, with that, we're out of time here on AOA today. Thanks to Andy Campbell with Tractor Zoom, John Baranek with DTN, Darren Newsom with Bar Chart for joining us. The show today brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel, fueled by innovation, power to perform. Learn more online. Just go to their website, cenex.com. On the next AOA, we'll talk with Brent Boydston with the U.S. Grains Council, as well as Terry Cosby with the NRCS. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 74% of young producers said they get their most important agricultural information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you're in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Hi, I'm Jenny Garth. I've loved and cared for rescue animals since I was a little girl growing up on a farm in Illinois. My pets have always been some of the most important members of my family. My friends at American Humane have been helping animals for over 140 years. Adopting an animal in need can help save a life and add a new member to your family. Since 1981, American Humane has celebrated Adopt a Dog Month each October in an effort to help the estimated 3 to 4 million animals waiting in shelters every year to get the loving forever home that they deserve. I urge you to consider fostering or adopting a shelter pet and to support the noble mission of American Humane. Together, we can make a significant difference in the lives of these loving creatures. For more information, please check out AmericanHumane.org.